Heard it said sometime years ago that digestion is to the body what meditation is to the soul. Some people say you are what you eat. Well, you are what you digest. Digestion is to the body what meditation is to the soul. The more we meditate, the more the Holy Spirit can open our understanding and bring other things in and season it with grace so that it becomes even sweeter to us and deeper in our understanding. Appreciate the message this morning. If you'd like to turn to where our text will be found, we'll find it in Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Then Job answered and said," and here's our text, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" What preacher got to Brother Job and told him about justification? Brother Job had some understanding, didn't he? Brother Job was a perfect man. Upright and eschewed evil. What does that word mean? He turned away from it. Didn't have anything to do with it. Eschewed evil. We're told that several times and in a couple of ways in the book of Job, aren't we? As we're introduced to this godly man who, what we understand, his writings are some of the oldest of all the Bible. "I know it is so of a truth," he says, "but how should man be just with God?" What's on our mind this morning is the doctrine of justification. When you approach a subject, the Bible sometimes speaks of that subject in more than one avenues, like salvation. If every time you encounter the word salvation in Scripture, or saved, if every time you encounter that, if you want to apply that to eternal salvation, you're going to be confused when you're studying the Scriptures. It's especially being confused on how a person is saved. You know, we understand that we're saved by the blood of Jesus. But when Peter said on the day of Pentecost, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation," it sounds like the sinner's got something to do with that. And he does when you understand what salvation's under consideration. The sinner doesn't have anything to do with our salvation that we have eternally, but he has a lot to do with the salvation. Like Job, he eschewed, he turned away from evil. And we need to do the same thing, don't we? To save ourselves, or as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." We have a lot to do with that. Well, the same is true with the doctrine of justification. Scripture speaks of justification by the blood of Christ. Okay? Romans deals at length with the subject of justification. There's justification by the blood of Christ. There's justification by faith. Okay? Now, a person that doesn't understand salvation, a person that doesn't understand that eternally we're saved by the blood of Christ, but then there's things that we can do by faith to help our daily life and walk in the way that we'll be blessed, as we heard from Psalm 1, there's things we can do by faith that doesn't have anything to do with our eternal salvation or our redemption, but it will save us. And so there is a justification spoken of by faith. And then James comes along and tells us there's a justification by works. And there's so many people that think that we're saved for heaven by having more good works than bad works. Know anybody like that? That thinks that your good works have to outweigh your bad so that you can get into heaven? By the way, do you know the Muslims believe that? And so these folks that believe in salvation by works thinks we've got something in common with the Muslims. Why, we can come together on common ground because of that. They don't even worship the same God. We don't have common ground. There's a lot of folks under the umbrella of what's known as Christianity that thinks that works is what saves you for heaven. And those folks within the realm of Christianity thinks that we can have some common ground with the Muslims. No. To some folks, that might sound good. And it might be all right if it wasn't all wrong. All right? So anyway, back to the subject of justification. I want to notice this morning, Lord bless us in the balance of the time here, I want to consider, first of all, it's this justification. There's not going to be a bunch of pardoned sinners in heaven. It's not that because Jesus came and died that everything's just brushed aside and forgotten. There's not going to be a bunch of pardoned sinners in heaven. You know, I've used the illustration many times where after President Nixon was impeached and then President Ford came along and pardoned President Nixon. So he didn't have to suffer whatever consequences there were. It was set aside. It was brushed aside. If there was any guilt involved, he was still guilty. Now, I'm not going to even get into that. I mean, that's there. But here's the point. It's not that God's people are going to be pardoned and they're going to be pardoned sinners in heaven. God's people are justified. Justified. Which means just if I'd never sinned. That debt is paid in full. The price was paid. God's wrath for those sins has been satisfied. Not brushed aside, satisfied. There's a big difference, isn't there? Jesus had to suffer. He had to die. I remember hearing a primitive Baptist preacher years ago said something about how that Jesus could have just gotten tired of all of this and just washed his hands and went back to heaven and God would have saved his people another way. I'm sorry. That is against all of what God purposed and all of what Jesus accomplished in satisfying the will of the Father. Bless your hearts as we think about the doctrine of justification. First of all, I want to talk about, well, God sent his Son. We talked about him dying, his suffering, and his death. God sent his Son to be the propitiation. That's a big word. I don't ever use that word in conversation, do you? Okay? But we find it in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Let me read it. The verse, one place where we find it. There's others. Romans has it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, for interest of time. Verse 10. 1 John 4, verse 10. Here it is, love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Simply put, propitiation means he gave himself for us. Anybody that knows me well knows that I love Genesis 22, where God told Abraham to take Isaac, his son, his only son, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. And in that, we find that Abraham fully intended to take Isaac, because God told him to take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. The New Testament in the book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham was accounting. And so in the New Testament, we find a little bit more to the story that helps us understand why Abraham was willing to do what God said, even though it was going to take the life of his son. Because in Hebrews, we're told that Abraham remembered that God had made a promise. God had promised that he would raise up a great nation unto him, that he would give him a son, and there'd be a great nation that would rise up from him. All right? His seed, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. All right, so God made that promise, and God is faithful. Who promises? And so when God made that promise, then Abraham, understanding the promise, and also understanding if I have to take my son and sacrifice him, then if God's going to be true to what he's promised, then he's going to have to raise him from the dead and then allow him to have this great nation come from him. So we see then that by faith, Abraham was trusting God's promise and was going to do what God said, whether he understood it or not, because he knew that God had to be faithful to his promise. Amen. And so we find this propitiation, that when Abraham had laid him on the altar, put the wood in order, laid him on the altar, had tied his hands, raised the knife, then the angel of the Lord stayed his hand. Bless your hearts. And then he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And that ram was then used as a substitute for Isaac. And that's what Abraham saw when he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Abraham was blessed to see a substitute for Isaac. And bless your hearts, God sent his son to this world to be a substitute for us, who died in our room instead, who paid the penalty of our sins and satisfied God's righteous demands of how we had offended him. And through that blood, we are reconciled to God. And that word propitiation means a covering or an satisfaction. That's exactly what the blood of Jesus did for us. It satisfied God's holy wrath. As we think about, one of the words for the definition of that propitiation is a covering. And very early in Genesis 3:21, as a matter of fact, Genesis 3:21 speaks of how that after Adam and Eve had sinned, that God made coats of skin to cover them. Well, what did it cover? It covered their nakedness. And it was their nakedness or their condition, their newly understood condition before God that caused them to hide themselves in the garden when they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid themselves and they were afraid. Why? Because they were guilty. To not get deal too much with that, then God made coats of skin and covered them. Now that's not just an outward covering. I mean, that was, but it was symbolic of how that the satisfaction, what would remove the offense between God and man, while they had a covering for their nakedness back in the Garden of Eden, bless your hearts, just like the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, it was an outward covering that allowed them before God. But bless your hearts, it pointed us to the satisfaction, the reconciliation that we would have when the blood of Christ, you know, blood had to be shed for those skins to be taken from those animals, and to make those coats of skin, blood had to be shed. And very early in the book of Genesis, we have a glimpse of what was necessary to satisfy the holy wrath of God against man in his fallen condition. How should man be just with God? We got a glimpse of it in the Garden of Eden. And we understand that we're made just and declared just. That's justification is really how the scriptures declare that man is just by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. So justification by blood, we understand that. We rejoice in that. We understand that's the only way that we could be just before God, is that our sins were not brushed aside, they were paid. God was satisfied. Remember Isaiah 53? When it says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He was satisfied with the offering of Jesus Christ. And so Hebrews 9:27 says, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. Justification by blood. And this justification is not a timely thing. It's not a matter of whether our good works outweigh the bad. Once it was done, it's done forever. That means our sins are forgiven. All the sins that I have ever committed, and you as well, are paid for. God's wrath against them is satisfied by the blood of Jesus. But it's not just the sins we've committed. It's the offense that we inherited from Adam. You see, when we're born into this world, we're born in this world as a sinner. Now, some mamas don't like to hear that their little babies are sinners already. But bless your hearts, we're sinners by nature before we're ever sinners by practice. That's why every baby in the womb needs the blood of Jesus for his cleansing, just like the rest of us. Any of us, we need the blood of Jesus for the cleansing, for our justification before God. And so we find all the sins that we committed, that nature that we inherited from Adam. And there's one more thing I want to point out. All the sins that we'll ever commit for the rest of our life. Some people have a hard time understanding, well, it's that way now, but how can it apply to the future? Because that's what the blood of Jesus did for us. It justified us. It rendered us in such a state that no sins we've ever committed nor ever shall commit. That's why Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's all been washed away. It's all been paid for. Bless your hearts, that's what the blood of Jesus did for us. But when we move from justification by blood to justification by faith, now my question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all of our sins? Amen. If you believe that, now I'm talking about you're just right now. Now in the mind, the purpose of God, just like when we sang that song, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Well, if you were in the mind and purpose of God, if you had been chosen in him, if you had been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1 and 4, then bless your hearts, you were in him because he went to the cross for you. In your stead. You deserved it. It ought to have been you nailed to that cross. It ought to have been you with that crown of thorns upon your head. It ought to have been you because to suffer the wrath of Almighty God. But Jesus went there for us. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself. He was both the sacrifice. He was both the high priest and the offering. And he went to that cross in our stead. And we know that's fact. That was God's purpose from the foundation of the world. Jesus came and did it. There's more history on record about the life of Jesus Christ than there is all the Neros of Rome, I'm told. I haven't checked it all out yet, but that's what I'm told. Bless your hearts. That's fact. But do you believe it? Do you? Do you really believe it? Really? You see, justification by blood is something that God took care of by sending his son. Jesus took care of it by going to the cross and rising again from the dead. That's a fact. Whether you have any knowledge of it, any involvement with it, whatever, bless your hearts, it's a fact. But justification by faith is, do you believe it? And if you believe it, can you rejoice in it? The more we understand it, the more we hold on to that, the more we lay hold upon that. And that's greatly enhanced by doing what Brother Kenneth said in reading the scriptures on a regular basis. As God reminds us of his mercy and his grace upon us every day we live, and especially in giving us his son to die in our room instead. If we can hold on to that, if we can rejoice in that, if that's our hope that we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, bless your heart, that's justification by faith. And you know, John wrote to us, and he talks about how that believers ought to believe. Right? Believers. Now, what makes you a believer? Well, being born of the faith, being born of the Spirit and having faith enables us to hear spiritually, to see spiritually, to taste spiritually, to feel, because we have the witness within us. We have his Spirit within us. It enables us to believe God. You know, Abraham didn't just believe in God. Abraham believed God. That's how he was able to take Isaac to the top of that mountain. That's how he was to take Isaac, his beloved son, and bind his hands and lay him on the altar. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Didn't make him righteous. It manifested the fact that he is one of God's righteous ones, one that's born of the Spirit, one who has the justification by the blood of Jesus that for Abraham was going to be a long time before it was ever actually shed, but it was in the mind and purpose of God, and nobody was going to keep it from happening. What God has purposed to do, he will perform. He's able to perform. And so we find that justification by faith is laying hold upon these truths and rejoicing in it every day. Now, I mentioned that John speaks of this. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13. 1 John 5, 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, So he's talking to believers, isn't he? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Are you rejoicing in the promises of God? That's an evidence right there. You have eternal life. As a matter of fact, even the condemnation that you feel for sin is an evidence that you have eternal life. Otherwise, it wouldn't bother you. Otherwise, you wouldn't care. All right, so these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
He's written to those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that they might believe on the name of the Son of God. That's not double talk. He's saying, if you believe it, then keep on believing. Hold on. Be strengthened. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth, and be strengthened in it and stand firm in it and stay there. Live there by believing in the name of the Son of God. He's the one that shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sin. He's the one that's justified us before God. We stand before God just if I'd never sinned. And no sin that I'll ever commit in the future will change that. Can you rejoice in that? Can you hold on to that and believe that? That's justification by faith. God gives us faith, but we need to use it. Hold on to it. Trust God every day of our life. Sometimes life is good. Sometimes life is hard. But God is the same. And what he's done for us is the same. And our hope is the same. And our justification by the blood of Jesus is the same. Now lay hold on it. Trust it. Live it. That's justification by faith. James then talks about justification by works. See, it's not a different way to be justified. You know, it's not you can be saved for heaven if you have faith, or you can be saved for heaven if you do enough works, or you can be saved by the blood. No, it's not one or the other. Jesus died and shed his precious blood and justified us. God has declared that through his blood of his Son, we are just. His word has declared that for us. If he's given us his Spirit, if we've been able to hear the good news of the gospel, if we can lay hold upon it, if we can trust it and rejoice in it, that's our justification by faith. Now act like it. That's justification by works. James chapter 2, James speaks about this. And he says, was not Abraham justified by works when he had offered up Isaac? And I said, wait a minute, preacher. He didn't offer him up. He got to a certain point and he put a ram in his place. That's true. But in Abraham's mind, he had offered up Isaac. He fully intended to do what God told him to do. As far as God was concerned, he'd already purposed to do that. But bless your hearts, it wasn't Isaac being offered that was going to accomplish anything. It was that ram who represented the Lord Jesus Christ who satisfied the holy wrath of God upon all the sins of all of his people. You know how sad it is sometimes we won't go there. How wonderful it is that we can be blessed to understand that Jesus died for all our sins. So justification by works. When you live that, when you manifest to the world that you believe that Jesus died for our sins, that you obey in the sense of submitting yourselves to the word of God and living your life according to that Psalm 1 man. Right. that we heard about this morning. When our delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do we meditate day and night. That's not every thought, but bless your hearts, frequently, just like when Paul says, pray without ceasing. It's a state of mind that we want to know more about the Word of God. We want to keep it fresh in our mind. And when we have the opportunity, meditate upon it. You know, there's lots of things that we have to do in our jobs that claims our mental faculties. But when we have those moments, think about some of these precious promises. Maybe a verse that you read that morning and then started your day, and you think about it throughout the day. And the Holy Spirit can just bring so many thoughts to mind and add to that that you got when you took that bite of scripture that morning. And as you're chewing on it later and as you're meditating upon it, it just gets richer and bigger. The Spirit just opens it up to us. When we're living like that, and when our choices are being guided by the Word of God, and that we're walking in the Spirit and rejoicing in the things of God, bless your hearts, and doing, and when the decisions that we have made have been guided by the influence of the Holy Spirit, that's justification by works. When somebody can look at your life and say, now there goes a God-fearing man or woman. There goes a good person. If they're speaking like that, they've seen something in your life. You are manifesting something by the choices you're making, the life that you're living, what you're trusting in, what you're hoping for. All of that comes together as justification by works. The only way that Abraham was justified by works was what others, and even us today, by reading the scriptures, by we can see from the choices he made and the way he lived his life. He was justified by works. That didn't get him a home in heaven, did it? No, but it declared to the world whose his God is, whose word he was trusting, who was guiding him in his decisions, who in whom was his hope. Bless your hearts. That's justification by works. And James would go on, or earlier that, I quoted from verse 21 of James chapter 2, but earlier in that chapter, James said, show me thy faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. For faith without works is what?
Dead.
There's no evidence of life. There's no proof of what you're saying if there's not works to back it up. That's profoundly simple, isn't it? But it is simply profound. The impact that it will have on you personally and the impact that your witness will have on others. Because when that happens and when those things are happening that constitute justification by works, that's when we're bringing glory to God. That's when we're letting our light shine, and that's when we're bringing glory to God. Isn't that what we want to do? But if we don't get past the point of doing, and that's why Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. There were those that came to Jesus and said, thy mother and thy brethren seek thee from without. And he said, who is my mother and who is my brethren? But they that hear the word of God, hear my words and do them. That's his family. That's the ones that honor him. That's the ones that are known as the sons of God. Justification by works. So you see, the scripture speaks of justification, but we have to understand what type he's talking about. The only one that got us a home in heaven was justification by the blood of Jesus. But when we lay hold upon these promises and believe it, and as a believer, keep on believing, that's justification by faith. And when we let our light shine, and when others see our good works, and see who we're honoring, and see who's guiding our life, and see what our hope is, that's justification by works. We need all three, don't we? By the grace of God, we can do all three. All three are founded upon that justification by the blood of Jesus. Bless your hearts. As his people, we're enabled to believe that glorious truth. And may God help us to be moved to action and be justified by our works, that we may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. May God bless you, is our prayer.